a hand as he comes forward.
Give the creative team a hand as they take a seat. And give yourself a hand. And you may be seated. Hey, good to have you here this morning. How are we doing? To the person next to you, just say, you look incredible this morning. This morning we're doing something a little bit different. Is that all right? Who enjoyed last week? Steve Penny. I did warn you to let you know that when he came in, we've been planning to have him here in the church for quite a while. And he's a good man. He spoke a great word into the life of our church, spoken to our leadership team. And it was something that we had prepared because we've got a heart as a church to lift our expectations. Amen? Come on, give me an amen. Close your eyes for a moment. God, we thank you that you're in this room. We're not gathered just around ourselves, but we're gathered here around you, Christ. We're gathered here around your vehicle to reach and touch mankind, your church. In Ephesians 4, Christ, you tell us that you are the head of this church. And God, we just pray, God, this morning that you, Holy Spirit, would just take these words and take the intent that we have as a church and make it alive in our hearts, every single one of us, in your mighty name. And everybody said, beautiful. So what we're going to do, we've been on realistically a transition in the church for a bit now. And to be honest, Steve Penny was probably the last part to that transition. In terms of just inviting him to speak into the life of the church, speak into the heart of our church. And he's someone I've known for a while, I've been talking to. And he's going to come a couple times a year, probably earlier and then later in the year. He has a heart that looks at churches and looks at teams. And he was very excited about what he saw. He got stuck into us as leaders to lift our expectation. But he spoke into the heart of our church. So this morning what we're going to do is outline to you some of the things we've been doing behind the scenes for a while, getting ourselves ready for a new season. Amen? So first of all, I'm going to talk to you about our team. It's a bit crackly, is it? Probably yelling too much. We've been working behind the scenes to formulate a structure in our church that we've felt on our hearts we needed to realign within the church. And what we've done is we've pulled some people to focus on people. And everyone knows Mona. Mona's going to come up here right now. Everyone give her a hand as she comes. Mona's been around for a long time. She's the better looking half of Mona and Dave. It's just saying it like it is. And Mona's involved in our care side, but she's also now working one day a week in the church, focusing on a Sunday on the people side within our church. And we've got a team that we've rallied around the people side within the church. So I'm going to get them to come up now and stand with Mona. We need Anthony up here. He's oversighting our new people. And then we have Janine, who's focusing on cell groups. We have Lord Dez focusing on pastoral care. And everyone knows Jorge. Where's Jorge? He's going to come up here right now. He's focusing on our prayer side. Come on, Jorge. Come on, come on. We need Richard up here who's looking after new Christians. And where's Fortune and Isaac? They're going to come up here right now. They're over our welcome team. And last but not by any means least, Mish. She's looking after finding your place to serve in the church. Now, not all these areas we've got up and running as yet. Most of them we have. But these guys oversight teams that look after, a large part of the people side of the church. There are other teams. There's a whole bunch of other teams in the church. There's creative, there's kids, there's all sorts of areas that are important. But these are the guys, and Mona's focus on a Sunday is to look after this team in terms of some of them are focused on Sundays, some aren't, and to make sure that this area grows. So these people are going to approach you at some stage to be a part of a team. When we get Mish going with this, we might take a couple of months to get that up and running. The welcome team need people, don't they? On the front there, greeting people. The lovely Lord Des and her pastoral care, and she's also working with prayer with George as well, that side. Janine on cell groups has already started right now, almost a prototype leadership group that's been going for probably a month now. Richard is our new Christians person. Have you ever had a time with Richard? He's very passionate, loves the Word of God, and loves to see people saved. Everyone knows Jorge. If he hasn't prayed for you or been part of our prayer meeting, and a lovely Anthony and his wife Pam is involved with our kids area, is oversighting that side of youth, and Mona oversights this team on a Sunday. Sound good? They're going to stay there for a moment because they have to. I know Janine wants to sit down. And then someone on our team that oversights looking after the logistics within our church is Rachel. Come on, Rachel. She's going to have to come down here now. Come running. So Rachel looks after, going to help with the ushering team and oversighting cafe and areas like that. And she's on staff now, 2 days a week. And she looks after events, promotions, a lot of areas in the church. Runs around 100 miles an hour. And then I need Joe Garcia. Joe Garcia is working in the church 1 day a week on finance. And she'll be involved in this team as well. She's going to be involved in the pastoral care side as well, and new people. But she'll be on that nice welcome desk afterwards. She looks after FBOS, that side of the church, the financial side. She also works in our centre 1 day a week up in Rockdale, as does Fortu on promotions. Come on, give them a hand. So they're on staff as well. And I'm going to keep these people on stage just because I like having people up here. Takes the focus off me. And the other area we want to talk about, we've got other areas in the church we'll talk about a bit more, but I want all the youth team to come up. Come on. All of them. Second level, first level. I know there's a few not here. Where's some of the younger ones? Is Yvonne here? He needs to be. Oh, he's up doing kids. Okay, where's Jason? Right. So there's actually more of them. There's some missing this morning. Some of them are actually doing the HSC and they're in their trials at the moment. So they're focused on that at the moment, as you could understand. So we've got a couple. We've got Daniel, we've got Trinity that's not up here. They're focused on that at the moment as we can get them. Oh, they're good. What a good looking bunch. So we've got a lot that are involved. We've got our key leaders. We got a key team. Arnold, which is Bubby and Nards there, and Shawnee there, and Pat. And they've all got roles. And then we've got a second level team with the likes of Maddie and Box and Sam and Sammy and Brad, and there's a few missing. Daniel and obviously Trinity. Who else? Veronica's not here as well. And then we've got another younger crew coming through with Yvonne and Jason. So it's strong, right? Now, in all this structure, we also need to have the Samueo stand up. And I won't drag you all the way out here, but they also get involved in mentoring the team and meeting with them. Sound good? So all this team has been developing probably over the last year and putting people into place and giving them focus in all the different areas. And the last person I need to get up here, a staff member that is on team, part of it, is Hannah. Come up here, Hannah. Hannah now works in our community food care out the back there. She's a staff member as well. And we have other people involved. Marie works for us as well. So she does a part with our emergency relief as well. So we got quite a large team. Sound good? There's more to it. So you can all be seated, you lovely people. Give them a hand. If I miss someone out, we haven't talked about Creative. We haven't talked about One Love. You'll hear about more about their team coming up. We haven't heard about our kids area. There's so many other areas in the church. But those are areas that we've been focusing on for a bit now. Sound good? So we're in a different place. We've got a good, strong team around us. You're going to see a few changes? Who likes the chairs you're sitting on? Shane, you're just being polite. Who likes the chairs? No, hold on. The official colour is Atlantic salmon. Because it sounds classy, other than pink. We're getting new chairs. So have a quick look on a slide. We're going to get some new chairs. They're not this. Now, hold on. They are not red. All right. We're getting them out of China, and every chair coming out of China is red. We're getting them in a charcoal. Do you know what the Chinese said to us? Why you want charcoal? Why not red, yellow, green, gold? They literally said that. They came back and said charcoal. They said they're hunting for a charcoal color for us because they don't have it on their spectrum. It's either bright red, yellow, gold, silver, fluorescent green. It's everything bright. Gotta love the Chinese. So we're going to get those. They're coming in and we're ordering them through China, which is exciting. And they're padded. I know. They're coming in and they're going to be really nice and they're all individual when you get a bunch of them. And also out there, we're ordering right at the moment, out through that cafe, if you go into one of the kids' rooms, you're going to see a new play center. So that'll be great. Isn't that good? That's just for the kids, all right? So you'll go out through that cafe and you'll go into that area and there'll be an open door. There's going to be a TV and lounges for the parents and then a big kids area, which we're going to use for our community stuff, our community food care and those areas. And can I just tell you something? Pause for a moment here. Can I tell you that everything to do that actually came through our community arm because we do training in this building. We look after kids. We have food care. We run cafes. We run groups for mums. And do you know that that money was given to us by our local state government? It pays to be a church like us and be involved in all that we do and get involved, which leads me to our next part. So I want to talk this morning. These are just some of the things coming. There are going to be some other new things popping up here, there, and everywhere, actually. And we've done the carpet. We've done the front foyer. You're doing a few extra things. Someone asked me last time, does that mean that there's no scope for a new building in the future? No, that does not. We've actually got something we're working on, and we'll tell you about that when it comes to light. Amen? But I think it's good to make what we've got look excellent. Anything that we get like this, we can take with us. Isn't that good? So what I want to do for a moment this morning is just to pause and give you an idea of the heart of our church. Very quickly, we're going to go through our vision statement. It's been around for a while. And we spent a lot of time on this, and this is who we are. And that's our heart. As a church, as Bay City Church, if you come here, you're a part of this. This is our intent. This is what we want to produce. This is what we want to be known as, and this is what we want to do. Number one, Jesus is our passion. His word is our pattern for life. So Jesus, we want to fill this room with people that love Christ. And we'll do that through whatever means we can. On a Sunday, midweek, we want to be known as that crazy, passionate about Jesus people down the road in that building. Amen? We want to do it through every program that we've got. The second area is his word is our pattern for life. We want to see people within our church. Sorry, we need to hand these out. You're doing it already. You guys are amazing. We want to see within our church lives patterned on the Word of God. You can pattern your life on so many different things, but I tell you what, the wisdom that you get from heaven and from God, from the creator of this universe, is to pattern your life on the Word of God. And we'll do that weekly through taking you through the Word of God, bringing up, making it applicable to your daily life so that you can pattern yourself on the Word of God. We see discipleship as our commission. We want to turn people. A disciple is simply a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? And a disciple is someone that actually has a heart to produce other disciples, to turn other people around them into people that love Christ and pattern their life, have a passion for Jesus, pattern their life on the Word, and become disciples. And the other unique side to our church, which is unique, which not every church has, is that we believe as a church that social justice is our responsibility. It's not some little thing in the corner of our church in a little box that says care for your community. And not every church thinks this way. There are large churches who do not have this as a focus. We have always had this as a focus, and it's who we are. We're not going to be ashamed of that. We're not going to pull back on that. We are ever increasing in our social justice, and that's the way. It does not mean all those other areas. We are believing to build this house and build it strong and build strong people that love Christ. But we will not stop affecting our community, because we cannot get our heads around the fact that Christ, he tells us to do that. If you look at Matthew 25, 31 to 46, it is clear, very clear. 31 says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit at the throne of glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then a righteous will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you or thirsty or give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger or take you in and naked or clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these, my brethren, you did it to me. I cannot read the Word of God and read that and not see that our church has an intent to do that. Amen? So we will do it. So we have started a center up in Rockdale. We've got domestic violence courses. I was in council this week. And, you know, I think some of the things that we've tipped into are prophetic. I was in council this week putting in a proposal, actually, for a small building. Anyway, we'll talk about that later when we get it. And I was in council, and I ran into one of the officers in council, and he said to me, oh, Pastor Andrew, he said, I've got to talk to you. And I said, what? He said, your domestic violence center that you've got up the road, he said, we're going to do something at council on every bin in this whole LGA. We're going to put a domestic violence sticker. And he said, it is such a big issue. It's 80% of police call-outs. Are you with me? 80% are the called in. And he said, this area that we're in, it's one of the worst areas in Sydney for domestic violence. And you can look back and go, oh, well done. But no, you know what? Prophetically, as a church, through people like Mona, God spoke and we've started something and we're actually known. And he said, well, maybe we can talk about getting your number on every bin under the word domestic violence. Amen? Mona's freaked out because it's a lot of work. But that's prophetic, amen? And right now, one of the biggest things at the moment with all this rent rises and crises that are going on in people's homes and affordability, we've got a food program now with 11 locations across Sydney feeding over 3,000 people a week. We won't pull back on that. Why should we? It's something the church is called to do, and we'll keep growing that side and raising that side. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, but we've got other ideas. We're in schools doing programs. We're in all sorts of things going. So we'll keep that side alive and functioning And do you know what? I believe it goes hand in hand with what we're called to in the church. The other area I want to talk about this morning, in the time I've got left, let me just get my time up here so I don't go over. I've got 20 minutes. I want to talk about our culture. So if you look at that little pamphlet that's in front of you, this morning is going to be a bit technical, so if you're visiting with us, this is not what we do every week. In fact, next week I'm going to start on the book of Ephesians. Really excited. Really excited. It's one of my favorite books. And it'll be topical. Every week we'll have a topic. But we're going to get into it. So our culture is split up into three areas to make it easy for you to come up with. Head, heart, and hands. So you might see that splashed all over the walls somewhere. They're called head, heart, and hands. That's the tagline for our culture. And this is the spirit. This is our vision statement, is what we're called to do. Amen? We're called to make people passionate about Jesus. We're called to help people pattern their lives on the Word of God. We're called to churn out disciples, create people that want to disciple other people. And we are called to look at social justice. It's our responsibility. That's what we're called to. The attitude we do it with, this is our culture. Amen? This is what we want to breed in our house. When you come into Bay City, we want to do this. You'll hear this a lot. You'll hear this in every sermon. You'll hear this in leadership meetings. You'll hear this. You'll see little things written all over the place, and that's just what that's going to be, because it's all about our culture. So the first one under head is excellence. A spirit and an attitude of doing things well. And obviously, the scripture there is Matthew 25:14. And Steve Petty did that with our leaders last week, and it was amazing. Fantastic. It's a great passage that talks about excellence. And in Matthew 25:21, the Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." You know, we're going to do things well as believers. Amen? That's why we want to improve things here. That's why we want to sharpen everything. You know, too often the church is seen as something that just bumps along with, you know, when I was younger, I guess, the tagline for anyone that went to church is, you went to church because they were the only people that would actually accept you and love you, because they had to. Does anyone else remember church like that? You know, and I remember talking to some people and they said, oh, you know, church is just for, you know, those people that don't connect. And I'm talking about as a young person, those people that don't have any friends and don't connect with anyone. That was really, I remember people telling me that was their idea of what a church person was. They went somewhere where people had to love them because Jesus told them to, because they couldn't sort it out on their own. That's terrible, isn't it? That is not what church is about. And sometimes I think because church was done so badly, I remember as a 16-year-old boy one day going to a youth group, invited to go, and I had been growing up in church all my life, and I was 16 and I thought I was cool and everything. And I remember going to this youth group, and this guy had spent weeks trying to get me there. And I finally went. And I remember going to this youth group as a 16-year-old, and I had all the attitude in the world. And I remember standing there, and I come in this youth group, and I looked around. There was kind of some interesting people. And then the next week, we were on the floor in a circle with our legs crossed, playing duck, duck, goose. Well, there's a lot wrong with that. I just remember sitting there with my legs crossed and someone going, okay, all right, we're playing duck, duck, goose. And then going around the corner to my head. And I just went, oh. Sad to say, I never went back. Amen? I just went, what, 16, duck, duck, goose? Really? And this poor guy, he was embarrassed. He was a really lovely guy. I liked him. I went there because he kept down witnessing to me constantly, telling me about Christ. Even though I was sort of in the Christian family, he was trying to get me to go to this youth group, and he was embarrassed. He just said, oh, we're not always doing duck, duck, goose. We don't do that in our youth group. Do a youth group. Not at all. You come here on a Friday night, the place is thriving, pumping, there's great music, there's great atmosphere, it's just... So that's the youth group I had to go to. You guys are blessed. Say amen. We want to do things well right across the board. We want to have a spirit of excellence in this house. Excellence is a commitment to improvement and doing things well. Excellence is a heart and attitude that always wants to improve, to achieve excellence together. And all that we do, every individual needs to take personal ownership and responsibility for what they do. A collective spirit of excellence is when our ability to see what needs to be fixed and improved equals our willingness to be a part of the answer, to see things fixed and improved. You can sit in this room and see 30 things that need to be fixed. That's awesome. I can go to your house and probably do that as well. Amen? You can come to my house, I'm sure you can see 35 things that need to be fixed and improved. But a spirit of excellence has said, you know, where can I help? Hey, Pastor, you know, I noticed, hey, there's something going on there. You know, I haven't got a bunch of skills, but I can help. Can I get involved? Can I do something? You know, there's a, wow, look at that coffee stain on that thing. And, you know, who's going to get that? What about you? Amen? We don't have people employed just to maintain all this and all the things that we do. This place runs on volunteers. The next one from our head is ideas, the culture. We welcome and embrace your suggested ideas. You know, people have a whole bunch of ideas. We want this place to be a house of creativity. We want you to have suggested ideas. But I think sometimes you've got to realize that they have to come through a filter. We value people's thoughts and make allowances for individual contributions. We are open to suggested new ideas. Ideas are put forward for consideration, not demand. Understanding that every idea suggested is going to be able to be affected. Value and respect the process. Every idea must travel to an answer. So we want creativity. We might even do, we're thinking about doing a little suggestions box. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem where people can put something, an idea. But just understand that your idea of, I don't know, you know, having coffee served in the halfway through the service might not be practical. That would be my suggested idea. Around about now, someone comes out with lattes delivered to your seat and you have a little button you push and that sounds good. But that ain't going to happen. Next one, under the heart. I'm going through these quickly just to give you an idea. But you're about to see, you can go to the website, they're up there. You can see these and read these, take these home and memorize them. We'll test you next week. Just kidding. Heart, spiritual attractiveness is the culture we want. We want the heart of a person. We want people to run into an attitude when they come into this place. There's a heart that is a part of Bay City. It's who we are. Spiritual attractiveness. What does that look like? Jesus is our passion and the word is our pattern. So do we inspire others to know Jesus more? That's the heart. That's that culture we want in this place. Do people see more of Jesus in us than they did last year? Amen? Is that the response you're getting from those around you? Are people attracted to Jesus in us? When's the last time you had a conversation where someone just stopped and just went, what is it about you? Why do I feel good talking to you? What's going on? What's going on in your life? You're different. There's something different about you. Amen? So the culture in this place is that we look at that, and you'll hear that through our preaching. We'll stop sometimes and pause on that and go, you know, this morning I'm doing a message and it's going to fit into our culture on spiritual attractiveness, and we'll talk about that. The other area I believe the other two areas I believe focus on an area in our church which is very important, and that is the unity. And the first one is respect. Says, ask and respond to people in the same way you would like to be treated. Every directive and response we make is run through the filter of, is that how I would like to be spoken to and responded to? The task is never more important than the people performing it. You know what? We get busy. We have things, sometimes events where things are just, everything's going on and you might walk in through those doors and there's 100 things going down, a kids event, a spring fest, all sorts of things that we do. And some of our leaders get busy and they might run past you and go, hey, come with me, help me, help me, help me. I've got to get these chairs out. And we've got to give room to that and when people are busy. But the whole idea of this is that you are important to us and we want to make sure that you get asked the right way. Amen? And you are, if you're a leader in this place, that you just stop, pause and ask someone the right way, that we respect everyone. We want a culture of respect in this place. We're not a hierarchy. I don't, by nature, come out there and demand because I'm the senior pastor that you do this. If you've heard that from me, I don't think you would have. Amen? I don't use a title. I don't have you. We respect everyone. The second area is say no to gossip. And I believe this is key to culture of unity. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Amen? Proverbs 10:11. Ask the person who is sharing the information with you why they are telling you, and have they taken it back to the source to deal with, or someone in authority who can deal with it. Right there. I've been around church life for a long time. I've been in three churches in my life, more than that as a kid. Worked in three churches, Hillsong, Inspire Church, which was Liverpool back then, and Bay City. And I can tell you that this is an area that the enemy uses to bring disunity. And quite often people don't recognize it as gossip. They just think it's information. That people needs to know about that person's problem. Or that person needs to know about my problem. Or you get the knock on the door and you say, hey, pastor, there's a few people in the church who have been talking about this, and you find out it's really just that person. They've got a complaint. I want to catch this. Gossip is, if someone comes and tells you something about someone in the church, and you just stop them right there and go, hey, hold on for one second. You're telling me something about a leader in the church. Have you gone to that leader first? And they go, oh, no, I thought I'd come tell you first. Why? Just look at them in the eyes and go, why? Just tell me why you haven't gone and knocked on that person's door and had a chat with them. Why are you telling me? I don't know. I just thought you might be interested. You might have the same feeling about that person. Okay. Straight at that moment, you know what that is? Gossip. If you've got something, I'm not saying you can't have a problem with someone or you can't notice something. You just got to go to that person's authority and deal with it. Gossip's when you talk about that person. Everyone's talking about that person, but that person's never been spoken to. Amen? Intentionally use your words to build life. I love this part. We flogged this from somewhere else. Can I read it out for you? If you didn't see it with your own eyes, you didn't hear it with your own ears, then don't think it with your small mind or speak it with your big mouth. Is that right? Just stop right there. If someone says, oh, so-and-so saw, so-and-so do, so-and-so, and you go, I didn't see it. I didn't hear it. So, you know what? Stay right there. That's gossip. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's a good point. That includes posting on Facebook. Amen? Come on. Facebook doesn't give you a license to spread gossip because it's Facebook. It's still gossip. The Word of God still calls it what it calls it. That's what it is. You can cause division in a movement. You can cause division in a church by posting stuff. It's still division. It's not like Facebook has some sort of, exemption from the Word of God. It doesn't. It's an area in the church that I believe that the enemy will constantly use this to bring disunity. And I've said this before. Obviously, there was disunity in heaven because of Satan. Are you with me? So if it can happen there, it can happen anywhere. Are you with me? That's what happened. Didn't he? Satan took one third of the angels. So this is it happened. That's just life. I don't know why. I can't understand why. I can't get my head around it. But that is a fact. He took one third of the angels and they all became demons. And bad move. Totally bad move. So the enemy is actually quite good at this area, and that's how he attacks a church. He doesn't attack us from the outside. We group. You know, if we started to honestly get persecuted for our faith, you would actually get stronger. That's a fact. Right across this earth, whenever the church has been persecuted, it unites because we've got a common enemy. So the enemy knows that. So he tries and gets in the door, and he tries to get us to say something to the person next to us, against a leader, against the spirit of the house, against someone else, and get little fights going on between two groups in the church. And he tries and gets people undermining leadership and leaders and things like that. He knows that's the way to work. So we got to look and realize that we need to build a culture of unity. Gossip, just stop it right there. Have you shared this with Pastor Andrew or whoever? Why are you telling me this? Have you shared it with him first? Go make an appointment, have a chat with him. I'm sure he'd love to hear your concerns. Simple as that. I don't want to hear it. That's it. And then they go, oh, okay. Oh, no, I just thought you. No, I don't want to hear it. Because in my world, that's gossip. Amen? Taking a bit of time on that, but that's what the enemy tries to do. Hands, very quickly, we're getting there. Whew. Hands, this is my house. Leaving things better than how you found them. You'll see that on doors, things. This place gets used by so many different groups of people. That area is a kids auditorium and a youth auditorium. The cafe gets used for, you know, One Love Life groups. It gets used for, you know, for cafes on Thursdays. It gets used for so many different areas. We just need to make sure that we respect the house. Amen? We don't put holes in the wall. Did we paint it, did we? Did we fill the hole, did we? No, we didn't, youth group. So there was a hole in the back wall, which is now fixed. But we respect, right? We respect the house. This is my house. I love this one. Leave no one behind. We are the household of God. I love this. Ephesians 2:19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and with the saints and members of the household of God. You know, the reality is, and this is reality, someone walks in this door, they will feel, and if you're new this morning, you're probably feeling it right now. So just block your ears for a moment. It happens where whatever church you walk into, you will feel like, you will feel like either a foreigner or a stranger. That's just normal. You know, I went to, worked out, was it 14 schools? Some for a short period of time, 2 weeks. So I know what it was like to feel like coming out. Here, hey, this is Andrew, who's the new boy. Hey, Andrew, this is a new boy. That's twice. Hey, this is Andrew, this is a new boy. Go to a German school. Whatever it was. Achton! Whatever it was, so many times I went, it was horrible. The new boy is not a good feeling. Terrible. So I know what it is. In the culture that we want in this place is if you see someone by themselves, don't leave them by themselves. You know what I mean? That we leave no one alone, that we as a house here, we want to respect those people. We want to look after those people. Because we want to, the Word of God says, we want to turn them into members of a household, fellow citizens, saints, members of a household. This is a household of God. It should have a family atmosphere, knowing that everyone that God gives to our spiritual house comes to us feeling like a stranger and a foreigner, and we must help them feel like fellow citizens and members of the spiritual family. Never leave anyone behind. We are family. Everyone counts. We go after the missing. We care for the sick. We do life together. There are people that aren't here this morning because of sickness, and those people are getting food delivered to their home, and we've got people dropping over and visiting them in hospital and looking after them. Amen? That's what we want to do. And that's what we've got a heart to do as a church. The last one, and I'm not going to spend time on this because we're going to do some more on this in our church, The last one is, who are you bringing? And our heart is to see people have an encounter with God. A bringer is someone who brings people to church to have an opportunity to encounter God. Our heart is to bring our family, friends, and those in and around our lives to heaven with us. Amen? Come on. When you put it that way, we've only got this moment, haven't we? And every relationship that you have in your life, I believe, is important, and God has an intent for it. And the number one intent for that relationship is that they find themselves in eternity. They meet their Savior. Amen? And it's building that heart and that desire in our lives to actually go beyond ourselves and do something about it. We actively seek opportunities to introduce God to those around us who do not have relationship with Christ. Our heart for the lost would result in us making room in our lives to share God's heart for the lost. That an emphasis on bringing will increase the expectation of new people coming and salvations every week in our church. Can I say something? If you want to see salvations every week in this church, then guess what? We've all got to bring people, including me. I've got two conversations at the moment with two people. One's a full-on Muslim, and we're having a great time talking. And one's a Chinese man. That's the two people at the moment I'm working on. I've got on my heart, trying to get coffee with the guy across the road, my neighbour. So we spoke a few weeks ago. So I've probably got three on my heart. How many have you got? One of these days I'll probably end up with one of them here or something like that. Well, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But we've got to bring people with us, amen? And we should look at a seat. If you've got an empty seat next to you, then you've got to have an expectation to see it filled and see this place full on a Sunday. This church will grow when you start bringing them. Simple as that. When you decide, I'm going to bring someone to church. And you're going to hear more about this in our church. We're going to talk about it, and we're going to make heroes in our church. I'll tell you what, the heroes are going to be the people that bring people. Because I actually think they're the heroes for the kingdom of God. Would you agree? There is not a better intent for our lives than seeing someone we know come into the kingdom of heaven and their eternity is changed. I don't care what else you do, you know, it far above feeding them, it far above looking after their emotional needs, it's far above their physical needs, any area in their lives. If you can bring them into eternity, it's amazing. It means their whole world, their whole eternity is changed and looks different because you managed to bring them into a place where they could pray a sinner's prayer and accept Christ. Amen? Why don't we stand to our feet?